The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And it is time for the rumble to begin. I was going to say, let's get ready to rumble, but I believe Michael Buffer has trademarked that phrase. And with my luck, Michael Buffer would be traveling through Jacksonville, turn his radio on, and hear me utter that phrase and sue me right out of my drawer. So I decided to kind of change it up a little bit. Hey, girlfriend, is that a phrase? Sue me out of my drawers. He would sue me so hard, I would be left nude. I don't think that's a real expression, but it's just a real expression as cocked and loaded that Trump mentioned earlier this week. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's talk about Donald Trump has announced that he is running for president of the United States, shocking nobody, except for apparently some Democrats who are praying that he would either be impeached or that he would be so overwhelmed with the job that he just wouldn't want it anymore. Some people are really surprised that he is running again for re-election. It's just odd to me. I don't think that's much of a shock, but apparently to some people it is shocking news. And they are crestfallen and disappointed and scared, I think. The fake news cycle has already begun anew. New York Times, or as Donald Trump would say, the failing New York Times. Here's his tweet, and I mean, we should know by now and not be shocked by this anymore. But the New York Times claimed that he only had 1,000 people, which is still big. So let me read you Donald Trump's tweet in response. The failing and corrupt New York Times estimated the crowd last night at 1,000 people, when in fact it was many times that number. And their arena was rocking. This is the way they demean and disparage. They are very dishonest people who don't get me and never did. Well, I think he's right about that on all counts. The response from Julie Davis, President Real Donald Trump is correct about his crowd last night. My estimate was way off. And we have corrected our story to reflect the fire marshal's estimate of 5,500 people. When we get it wrong, we say so. So now, look, I wasn't at that rally. I don't know how many people there were. But I do know that when I watched Trump up there, they turned that camera around. Didn't look like there were any empty seats to me. The fire marshal says that there's about 5,500 people there, which means, by the way, that the New York Times didn't get their estimate wrong by like 10%, 20%. They got it wrong by 550%. How do you possibly do that? You're a newspaper. You're supposed to be fact-checking yourself. They're always making the mistake against Trump, aren't they? They never overestimate the crowd in favor of Trump. 1,000 people. Are they bananas? Now, I can understand if a single person kind of eyeballing it can't really guesstimate how many there are. I'm fine with that. But then don't put it in the paper. Or at least put in the paper, I scanned the crowd. You know, I have no idea. I'm not trained on doing this kind of stuff. I'm going to call 1,000 people. I have no idea in the world. In fact, don't even do that. Just don't print that. I mean, even just saying that to myself, if I'm that unsure about a fact, I'm just going to leave it out. Just don't even put it in there. And how embarrassing is that? Oh, if we get it wrong, we say so. Sure. Sure, I mean, you'd have to publish a whole separate paper alongside the original paper of corrections for the number of times they get it wrong. Now, a lot of conservatives were annoyed because CNN and MSNBC and other major networks did not carry it. Fox carried it, but a lot of them just didn't even maybe they put on a few seconds, few minutes, and then they cut. And I heard some liberals gloating and going, "Oh, well, maybe CNN learned their lesson," because, you know, liberals are angry at CNN and these left-leaning networks for covering Trump. Of course, we know that the networks cover Trump because they get good ratings when they do that. But the liberals are really angry at the networks for doing their job, essentially. And you have to remember that these people are liberals, so they don't make the connection that the higher your ratings, the more you can charge advertisers, the more people want to advertise on your show. And that ratings and people watching you, that equals money. See, they don't make that connection. They think that, you know, everything is free and that they think that if you have a news channel, you should just do nothing but promote an agenda with it. So they don't get that covering Trump is actually good for business. And I think sometimes that when CNN and these other places hire somebody, because I just talked about the correction that the New York Times made. Well, I looked at the reporter, Julie Davis, was that her name? She doesn't look like a seasoned veteran to me. She looks like a kid. And, you know, appearances can be deceiving. I don't know from looking at her. But I think that sometimes these organizations, especially now that their ratings are getting lower and lower, I think that they are hiring people kind of just fresh out of school and not maybe showing them the ropes the way that they probably used to. Maybe they had more time and money to spend to show people how to actually do journalism. And so you see a lot of these organizations now, they're just kind of promoting an agenda. And I think that some of their staff thinks, well, we need to do good social work here. And they're looking at ratings as being not as important. If you guys remember, Brian Stelter went on and said ratings aren't important. And Ted Koppel and the other, you know, veteran reporters around him were laughing at him for saying that.
If ratings are up, that means what?
The ratings are up. It means you can't do without Donald Trump. You would be lost without Donald Trump.
Well, that is what he says.
Ted, you know that's not true.
CNN's ratings would be in the toilet without Donald Trump.
You know that's not true. You're playing for laughs.
So right there, you heard Ted Koppel, industry veteran and fellow liberal, that CNN would be lost without Donald Trump. And Brian Stelter, of course, of CNN, defending that and saying that Koppel was just playing for laughs, with the crowd laughing at the idea that CNN doesn't think that ratings are important. But, you know, as you get a younger generation in there, maybe they do think that ratings aren't important. And I wonder if not covering him was kind of a test balloon. Now, of course, many of the agencies are saying, well, it's not a surprise that Donald Trump was running, and so we didn't think it was newsworthy. Even though he's the president, you know, we can't cover everybody that announces a 2020 bid, although I feel like they have. So I think that maybe it's possible that this was kind of a test balloon, right? So they're going to see how much of a hit they take in their ratings compared to, say, Fox News, who did cover it. And I have a feeling that they will have taken a pretty big hit, because I feel like this announcement was kind of publicized, and I think people will have wanted to see it. And if the only place that they could see it is on Fox News, then, of course, the ratings of the other news organizations are going to drop. And so that might be a really great thing, because there is only so far that the news agencies can go against what the public wants before they really start paying for it. Maybe literally. Now, some other big news was made earlier this week when Donald Trump stopped an attack on Iran. It's so funny because I got this old dude who's kind of a friend, and he's like, I think Donald Trump is going to drop a bomb on Iran. And he said this several days before this incident happened. I was like, well, I wonder where he's getting that info from. And we definitely have been kind of, as Ron Paul would say, beating the war drums, you know, ramping up the propaganda against Iran to make it look like they're an imminent threat. I mean, they've got no money, right? They can't make a move without us being able to, without us stopping them if we want to. They're halfway around the world, and they make it sound like they're the biggest threat imaginable. And so, you know, we're ramping up to attack them. And then Donald Trump stops the attack from happening. And this is great for a couple of reasons. First of all, Trump promised to keep us out of war. And that's one of the platforms that he was elected on. Perhaps the one that got him elected. On top of that, the Democrats automatically hate anything that Trump does. So if they come out against him on this move, then they're coming out pro-war, which actually, I guess, is a bad thing. Because the Democrats have been pushing for a war in Syria, which is insane. And they have been pushing for us to, you know, do things against Russia, which is also insane. So whenever we have a Republican in office, it's been traditional that the Democrats are suddenly against war. And that when we have a Democrat in office, like Obama, the Democrats will look the other way. And they don't care, right? The liberals are like just whistling, you know, pretending they're not seeing anything. And now that Trump is in office, because of the big foreign countries meddling in our elections conspiracy, the neocons and the Democrats have actually become friends. I mean, look at the picture of George Bush hugging Michelle Obama. And they're all best friends, and the Clintons are best friends with the Bushes, and, you know, they all hate Donald Trump. And so now we kind of don't have a resistance party. Donald Trump actually has been keeping us out of war. And if he keeps doing this, and I don't think he is. I do think he is going to get us in a war, because he said he was going to take the troops out of the Middle East, and they're still there. And, you know, he's got John Bolton, and he's got, who's this new guy he's going to hire for a Secretary of Defense, who works for the companies that are connected with the military-industrial complex. He's an ex-Boeing executive, I think, and I think he was, like, on a board with another company. I can't remember the name of it. And, you know, he's got these people who profit from war around him. And it's not a good thing. And this is the reason why, and I know a lot of you aren't going to like this. This is why I like Tulsi Gabbard. And she is a Democrat, and I would love to have her as president. And I'm not just saying that because I want to get in her pants, although that would be fantastic. I actually think that she truly wants to keep us out of illegal war. And as a matter of fact, she just created a bill holding that the president can only go to war with a declaration of war from the Congress, which is what the Constitution says. But they keep coming out with these BS loopholes, which are not legal in any way. Now they're saying that, well, we can be in the Middle East because of the resolution that was passed during the Iraq war. So the war is all of this war is a giant boondoggle. It's just a scheme to funnel taxpayer money to certain people. And the worst thing about it is that, you know, people literally are dying. This isn't some Ocasio-Cortez type, hey, the world's going to end in 12 years. I mean, this is provable stuff. So I think it's really a really important issue. And, you know, even though I think that these social programs are going to bankrupt the country, with the amount of money that we're spending on these invasions and nation building and things, we could pay for these social programs, you know, or at least a lot of them. So even though I disagree with her policies, heck, at least we will get some money, you know, towards them. But that's just a pipe dream. You know, the country, we love war in this country. And, you know, they don't cover it anymore. So we don't see it. So we don't think about it. And I don't think it's ever going to end. So with that in mind, if Tulsi doesn't get anywhere, Trump is going to be the best candidate, especially since at this point, anyway, he has pretty much held the line. Yeah, he hasn't really come back from a lot of the conflicts that we're in around the world, but at least at this point, he's staying out of Iran. I feel like he's really fighting to make that happen. Now, his reasoning was that Iran shot down a drone that we had flying over their airspace, or actually they claim it wasn't in their airspace, but they did shoot the drone down. And so we were going to launch a retaliatory strike. And according to his tweets, President Trump says that he asked how many people would die as a result of the strike, and they told him 150, sir. And he decided that that was out of proportion to what Iran had done, and he called the strike off. Now, I don't know if this is a case of solving a problem that you created, or if he really, you know, stepped in and stopped people from dying that would have eaten it otherwise. But as long as he didn't drop those bombs, I'm happy. My girlfriend just asked me if Trump is playing 4D chess with that. And I say, yes, he's always playing 4D chess. Apparently. Hey, did you catch Joy Behar and Meghan McCain on The View this week? Meghan McCain called Joy Behar a bitch. And the crowd was like, ooh. But then she goes, oh, we always call each other bitches. So apparently that's just a normal thing between the two of them. I think that's very sweet. I think that shows camaraderie. Isn't that right, bitch? Ooh, whoa. Just kidding. So it doesn't work. Apparently, my girlfriend and I are not as close as Joy Behar and Meghan McCain are. I guess I have to remember next time I do the show to don body armor. So let's talk about predictions for the Democratic debates. You know, this is fantastic. I can feel, you know, when you're going up the roller coaster, right? You hear going click, 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 and it's loading up. That was when all those Democrats were announcing, right? Another Democrat announces they're running. The roller coaster goes up a little bit higher. Click. Another one. Click. Of course, we have a lot this time around, don't we? It's more like click, 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 click. But anyway, we're finally at the top now of the roller coaster. And now we have the first, you know, the final piece in place was Donald Trump entering the fray. So now we know Donald Trump is running. Do you think they'll run another Republican? Would any Republican be dumb enough to run against Donald Trump? Maybe Mark Cuban will get in there, right? Maybe, who's that lady on CNN who keeps pretending like she's a Republican, but she's just a shrew? I can't remember her name, but, oh my goodness. I just saw a clip of Bill Maher basically begging Oprah Winfrey to run. Begging her, saying that she's the only one who can 100% reliably beat Donald Trump. So that's pretty funny. You can smell the desperation coming off of him. Because Bill Maher and a lot of these guys, you know, they hate Donald Trump. And the fact that he won the first time around, they're so mad. And they've been trying to invalidate the presidency the whole time. But if he lost a second time, they could say that, well, that's a repudiation of his presidency, right? So bad enough they lost once. But if they lost twice, then they get save a little face, right? But if he wins twice, I mean, it's over. It's all over. What if he wins again? And then they elect another Republican. Would that be nuts? That would be insane. But I don't see how they can go any crazier. I mean, they've been marching in the streets. They've destroyed their programs. The news, you know, network news is a joke now. Late night TV is a joke. They have wrecked their careers in order to get at Donald Trump. It's bananas. So, you know, if he wins again, they can't really go any nutsier, can they? Can they go even crazier than they have been? But the roller coaster is now descending. So let's take a look at the schedule of the Democrat debate starting next Wednesday, or this Wednesday, I guess I should say, this upcoming Wednesday, June 26th. And it is going to consist of Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, John Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard, Julian Castro, Tim Ryan, Bill de Blasio, and Jay Inslee. Or I guess this could also be called the loser's bracket. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Elizabeth Warren has been doing incredibly well. And you know I'm rooting for Tulsi Gabbard. I just talked about that. Then the next night, or as they're naming it, night two, is going to be Thursday, June 27th. Man, this is great. Just one right after the other like this. We're going to be overloaded with democracy. Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders. Why is Bernie Sanders' name in red? Is he like the favorite or something? There's, it's kind of funny. Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Kirsten Gillibrand. Make sure it's Kirsten, not Kristen. Kirsten. Michael Bennett, Marianne Williamson, Eric Swalwell, Andrew Yang, and John Hickenlooper, or what I like to call the loser's bracket.
That's very funny,
though. All right, guys, so here's how it's going to go down. All right, and this is just a cursory glance off the top of my head of these two lists. Elizabeth Warren is going to be the big star of the first one. Not only is she a great speaker, but they're pushing her. She's shown that she will play ball with the establishment. When Hillary Clinton bankrolled the DNC, and it was proven that they had the thumb on the scale against Bernie Sanders the entire time, Elizabeth Warren, who actually didn't even come out for Bernie Sanders, even though he's the closest one that matches her politically, she came out in support of Hillary damn Clinton, who she used to hate, or pretended that she hated. She said that, yes, it was a fix, what were they calling it for a long time, these elections? It was rigged. And then she came out later, says it's not rigged. When it comes to these wars, she doesn't really seem to mind them so much. And even though she has a lot of kind of policies that the progressives love, she also has policies that the establishment loves. And so there's going to be a big push for her, I think. And so I think she's going to come out smelling like roses in the first debate. Also, Tulsi Gabbard. Now, if she gets some screen time, then I think people will love her. But here's what's going to happen. They're going to put the camera on Tulsi Gabbard. And the questions are going to be as follows. Why are you an Assad apologist? Why are you an isolationist? And they're going to ask her these very tilted, slanted questions designed to make her look bad. She's probably going to be spending most of her time on the microphone defending herself. Hopefully, she's going to be quick enough to be able to pivot away from the garbage and make it obvious that these tools are just asking her questions that make her look bad while they give people like, Bill de Blasio or... Well, I guess nobody likes Bill de Blasio, but I can see them giving Amy Klobuchar or Cory Booker these super softball questions. So that's probably what's going to happen. Now, in group two, let's see. We've got Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. Well, the establishment loves them some Kamala Harris. And I think they like Kirsten Gillibrand, too, if I remember her correctly. Now, the people like Andrew Yang, and he's one of the ones who's pushing for this universal basic income, which you would think I would be against. But I think if we gave everybody a little bit of money and instead of putting into these social programs, that might be a good idea because we might actually save some money like that. I'll give it a shot. But we've got Joe Biden. Joe Biden will be lucky if he doesn't fall asleep on the stage. But he is a veteran, so you can't really underestimate that dude. So my prediction is that Bernie Sanders, who is very good at this stuff, is going to come out looking fantastic. But they're going to give him some tough questions, and they're going to give Kamala Harris some softballs. I mean, they've already done that.
Most played song on your Spotify list.
What is your favorite musical genre?
I'm
an idiot. And that's how it's going to go, folks. I mean, they're just going to push the people that they want. They're going to try to put down the others. Luckily, when they put down the people that they don't want, that includes a lot of far left progressives like Bernie Sanders. And then they're going to be mad, and maybe Trump will get back in there again. That's what I'm hoping.